Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, everyone, and welcome to The Pink Atheist. I'm your host, Rachel Johnson. Thanks for joining me again today. I was, you know, messing around on Twitter, and I thought, okay, well, I think that it's important that I do a show. Now, for those of you who have been, you know, coming back, thank you so much for being a listener. I appreciate you. But right now we are at the crux of something big, so we got to stay on top of this because our country is on the cusp of some very monumentous things that I don't want anyone to miss out how relevant and important, and historically when they look back, they're going to say that these were pivotal moments in the fabric of our nation when the Republic was at its weakest, and our every action defined how this will ultimately play out. So it came out today. Yesterday I was watching after I did the show, and I saw that, you know, Trump had met with Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. The meeting did not go well, and Nancy came out of it and said that she believes that this was staged so that he could walk out, so that he could make it look like Democrats were unreasonable. But when he said that he would be glad to shut down government, the advice being given to people by, you know, the government itself on how to cope with this situation is just as heinous as what he said, that he has no regard. And it's showing that the kind of government that he has put in place also has no regard for the government employees who are currently suffering. This wall is not necessary. It is not a vital part of our infrastructure. It is not, it's not something that we need to go all over about. And this is Trump's pet from the campaign trail. This is the thing that he promised his people. You know, this is the thing that people like Ann Coulter were criticizing him because he hasn't accomplished it. I mean, he hasn't accomplished much. He's gotten into Washington, and the things that he has done have actually helped Russia and hurt America versus anything else. But this is the one thing that his racist followers definitely want to happen. So he's trying to appease them because he knows come 2020, if he doesn't appease that racist base that he has, that the likelihood of re-election goes down even further. But here is the problem. So yesterday, as I started saying before, the White House itself hired on 17 additional lawyers. Now, those additional lawyers are for various things. One is because he's about to face problems with the emolument clause. The second thing is that personally, he's going to come under a lot of scrutiny. They are trying to see what comes under executive privilege so that he can try and cover up his crimes. And the third thing is that he's trying to change the tone around what he has said about the border so that he can declare a state of emergency. Now, many people have told him that it's not likely to work, but they want him to go ahead and try it simply because it appeases the base idea about why to do something. This is the height of it. And this is what I'm saying about watching what's going on in America. Because if Trump can do this, now declaring a state of emergency is typically for instances where we have a national disaster, we have a terrorist attack, or we have declared war and there is some mitigating circumstance where national security is itself compromised. So it's supposed to be that this is, it has to be on a level of crises that you can prove, that you can look to and pinpoint and say this is absolutely a crisis. And the border wall between Texas and Mexico is absolutely not a crisis. That border has been there since always. We have there is checkpoints, and we know about, you know, people crossing the border undocumented, and that it, you know, the influx has been less in recent years, especially from Mexico, but right now we're seeing a lot of humanitarian crises about the status of some countries because of global warming, because of, you know, poverty, everything that I've said the last couple of days. But what's important here to note is that when Trump declares a state of emergency, it's looking like it's not going to be if, but when. He has access and permissions to things which dangerously give him authoritarian powers. He has access to the internet. He has access to TV. He has access to all sorts of venues around the country to control them in that moment. And this was set up in good faith for the instance where he had to take control and make sure to lead the nation. Not him, Trump himself, but the office of the president had to lead the nation and make sure that he could calm the crises, get it under control, and maintain the integrity of the United States. As for what Trump usually does, he's bastardizing this and potentially corrupting it. So it's going to be interesting to see what comes out of this. Not in a good way. There's no good way for this to go down. Nancy Pelosi is about to hold a meeting in a few hours. She wants to talk about this whole shutdown. I know that she is urgently trying to get things opened. The House has passed several bills. McConnell refuses to even acknowledge them or let them come to the floor. Now, my understanding is that other things that they wanted to push through the Senate, the GOP, and that Democrats have prevented them from even getting onto the floor. And they have said that they will continue to do this until there is a vote to reopen the government. The fight continues to be that Nancy absolutely will not relent. And I don't blame her. You know, Cher was on Twitter yesterday saying that Dems should relent and open the government and let him have his stupid wall. But what people like her don't understand is there is no limit. And as you can see, because the emergency powers is supposed to be for an absolute crisis, and there is no limit to power Trump is willing to try to steal or assume, and there's no limit to what he will push to try to get done. Today it is try to get a wall. Well, tomorrow could be something even worse. I would say more benign and worse in regard of it's not necessary, but if he knows that he can hold government hostage, if he knows that he can harm good Americans, and that's just it, the harm is to good Americans who are simply in a useful tool for him. So if we relent today, tomorrow could be even more bleak. And the fact that the emergency powers exist now calls into question, because after this presidency, and hopefully America survives this presidency, we have to really rethink all of these statutes, all of these regulations, all of these powers that we have given to this office, and say, do we need more checks on them? Do we need to create more legislation saying when and how? Do we need to have more people involved? Like, should there, under an emergency situation, be, instead of just the president calling the shots, should there be a committee of five people, and one be the president and two from each party, political party, and each of those assumes, you know, a level of duty, so that we can ensure that nobody gets dictator-like powers over the United States. It's going to be interesting. Every day is a new day in America. I'm just afraid of what that new day is going to bring. So another thing that I saw, I just literally saw it, and I was questioning it wholeheartedly, was that Hillary Clinton is having a chance to win, to join a Broadway show with her and drinks. And it was backed up with a donation to her, something around her. And I didn't fully get time to check it out. I would love to further. But it makes me wonder if perhaps she isn't thinking about coming back. And now I know that there would be a lot of people saying things that wouldn't be appreciated. But I think that at this point, if Hillary Clinton decided that she should come back, this would be like the fighter coming back to the fight after they had been beaten and refighting it over again. And this time, people would be a lot more in her corner and a lot stronger. And I think that in 2020, we are going to put up a different kind of fight. This isn't going to be the same fight that we said that we were going to do before. And now, you know, if you've been keeping up with the news, if you haven't been keeping up with the news, I keep up with the news because I want to know everything going on. So what we're seeing is that I know that I was just going to talk about the border and the crisis there, but there's a few other things that have been popping up, and I've seen them. Steve King of Iowa said, when did white supremacy become a bad thing? And, you know, my reply to that is always, since always, it's never been a good thing. It's always just been acceptable for white society to allow to be. But his questioning that says a lot about who he is. It says a lot about what he thinks is correct. And I don't know how you get to be a representative of the people if you only represent a portion of the people. And that portion of the people has bigotry and hate and animosity, and that's what they're doing. I really don't know how these people get elected. Because, honestly, they cannot absolutely be a racist and represent somebody, their best interest. The whole idea of being a representative of the United States in some form or other is to represent the people, whether they be Republican, whether they be independent, socialist, whatever they are. When you take the job of representative, you suddenly become their voice. And I don't understand how somebody who is for white supremacy can ever represent a minority voice. That's literally impossible. So, you know, when he wonders why people call him names and he finds that on Google, he sees these images of his name next to some very unfriendly things on Google. This is why. Because people don't think much of you when you're a white supremacist. They really don't. You may think that inside of your bubble you are safe, but there is a whole world out there where your bubble does not exist and people do not enjoy you. I don't enjoy Rob Portman. You know, I'm an Ohio girl. He is my senator. And let me tell you something. I cannot wait for his reelection to come up, because when it does, for him saying that Trump presidential, for him standing by him while pretending to be a moderate, while abusing the women of Ohio, he absolutely has a lot to answer for. So when it comes for Steve King, I think the people of the state, him having said that, they're really going to represent what their ideology is if they reelect him. Because how can you say, when did white supremacy become a bad thing, and continue in office? This man should be gone as soon as those words slip out of his mouth. Somebody in his state should let him know, it's time for you to resign. Because if this is who you are, you can't really be a representative. So it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And then Paul Manafort has been in the news for several days now. Apparently, Trump's campaign didn't just have a couple interactions with Russians. They had over 100 interactions with Russians. They were feeding them information. It was a Ukrainian oligarch who owes Manafort money, which is who he gave the polar data to. American polar data, Manafort gave it to an oligarch in Ukraine. He was supposed to get $2.4 million for it. I don't know. That seems kind of small to me. But especially when you're dealing with the fact that you just betrayed our kids. But he was supposed to get $2.4 million. He told his accountant to expect a payment of $2.4 million. I'm not sure whether or not he received it, but the polling data was supposed to be for money that was owed. So we have that, and I think that he's going to continue in the news, because the more that becomes uncovered about him, the more it becomes clear how much the Trump campaign consorted with Russia and Ukraine. I mean, it's so amazing, all of these ties, because they don't just tie to one place and one thing. It seems that in Mueller getting this probe, he has dug up like literal networks worth of crime and how they connect to each other. Like, excuse me, Donald Trump Jr., photos have surfaced of him with the same banker. It's photos of him with a banker that is also associated with money laundering for the Russians, who is also associated with El Chapo, the Mexican drug lord. And I mean, it's pretty telling when, you know, there is a global crime syndicate and they're all working together, and Trump's name keeps coming up in that circle. And this is why him having levels of power that he should have never been allowed to have, you know, this election was not legitimate. Him having levels of power that he should have never had is a very dangerous thing. And I know that the House is going to begin hearings come next month. It's going to be interesting to see where those lead, because many of the people in Trump's administration are going to have hearings. Donald Trump Jr. is going to have a hearing. We're about to see a lot more uncovered, and I think that the reason is because the Democrats aren't willing to give up on this. They know that there is a lot there. And as more surfaces and as Mueller probes further, we see all of this. We see the links and the ties and how it is that Trump has only done business with corrupt career criminals. And I think that that's because, you know, since he was young and he learned how to get around taxes and he learned how to manipulate the real estate business, he has learned that if you behave like a bully, if you use deceit, if you use corruption, if you just try to get your way no matter what, he is used to people relenting to him. I really think that after this is all said and done, we have to make more legislation protecting America from over use of power by these people. It's been the most telling 2 years of my life to watch Washington, D.C. go from a quiet bubble of insiders to learning the level of corruption that exists there and how many people these people are attached to and where this leads. I mean, you always heard stories, but nobody ever really confirmed it. And now we're seeing a lot of this confirmed. And we're learning that every time Trump throws stones is every time that he is guilty of another crime. So I'm waiting to see about that. Now, Trump is supposed to be visiting the southern border today, and it's going to be interesting in another aspect, because he's going to be interviewed by none other than Sean Hannity. Now, I hope that you've kept up with who Sean Hannity is. He is a GOP political, he can't be called a journalist. He doesn't have a degree or integrity like a journalist. He's basically just an opinionated guy that Fox has on because he's willing to, you know, speak for the GOP. So Sean Hannity is going to be interviewing him, which Trump has been on record as communicating with him often. And the thing is, Sean Hannity has also had contact with Roger Stone. Roger Stone has had contact with Julian Assange from WikiLeaks. We know that Assange had. So the whole link goes like this. When Trump was saying, Russia, if you're listening, you know, get the emails, find the emails. Well, his campaign had already had contact with Russia. So Russia has this voter data. Then they turn around and they hack the DNC, but they hack the RNC too. Okay, so let's don't forget that. So they hack the DNC and then the RNC, and they have the voter data, and now they have the emails to boot. So you have opinions, you have all kinds of things that are going on, what you've been saying, what you've been sending out, all sorts of information. So along comes Trump, and he says this about Russia. Well, Russia did him a favor. You know, they released some of the DNA, the DNC emails. They altered some of them, obviously, to make it look more suspicious and suspect. But what they were really doing, what either he did know and he didn't care or he was oblivious to, is those emails were quite helpful in setting up how to attack with political bias. Like, what was the thing? What were they talking about in the DNC to each other about how to deal with things? Julian Assange, who is, you know, obviously the founder of WikiLeaks, who is tied into Russia. So you have him tied back into Russia. Then you have Sean Hannity, who has talked to Roger Stone. Roger Stone had been in communication and had actually been to Ecuador, the embassy, to see Julian Assange. So Stone was carrying information. Because the only time that you personally go to someplace like that is when you don't want to be on record, when you don't want records to exist of what a conversation went down. So Roger Stone comes back, he starts running his mouth, but it all ties in together. And I think that ultimately Sean Hannity, they're going to find something, because he has said it himself that he will stick with Trump to the very end, to the end. And then you have Sean Hannity tied into Michael Cohen, who pled guilty. And right after Michael Cohen pled guilty, you had Sean Hannity trying to wipe all tweets which remarked anything about Michael Cohen, probably because he figured that if those tweets existed, that is evidence, and apparently somebody needs to explain to him that even if you delete a tweet, it still exists in cyberspace forever. But trying to delete those tweets about what his interaction with Michael Cohen was, and as I was saying, probably because the idea is that if Michael Cohen said there was more to Sean Hannity than, you know, what he was saying, and those tweets exist, that can be used by the special counsel to say, look, he's lying. And ultimately that can be a bring down for him, especially if he has to undergo an interview, because who knows how far Sean Hannity's part is. Did he have contacts with Julian Assange, and was he part of, you know, any kind of derisive attempt at takedown? Because here's the thing. At one point, Sean Hannity said that he had information on the DNC that he was going to put out there, proving that they were in on some corruption, and it never, ever came to light. Now, I think that he was hoping that, having been in contact with Roger Stone and Julian Assange, that he would be given that information and so that he could leak it out to the public. I think he later found out that none existed, so he couldn't actually put it out there. It's going to show that Sean Hannity had a bigger part in this than he was ever given credit for. And I've said to him that I can't wait for this to come out, because I think that he's equally as guilty as anybody else going on there. So here we are. We have this big cluster of dirt, evidence, cover up. You know, we have Mitch McConnell trying still too hardcore to defend Trump. And every time that we see this is later that what we find out is there is some evidence of wrongdoing or criminal conduct on the part of anyone who adamantly defends Trump. I think that Russia has a lot of evidence that they are sitting on, which could indict people like Mitch McConnell, Matthew Gaetz, a few of the others who have stood up for him. And I'm waiting to see for this to come out. I'm not sure exactly how long this Mueller probe is going to go. I know that he just got renewed for 6 more months, which I'm very excited for. Because in the two, I think it's been a couple of years now that Mueller has been going. We have found out a lot of interesting things. We've had a lot of solid convictions. And if Manafort flips, I am very sure, and I don't think he will, because I think he's afraid of being assassinated. You know, dealing with the Russians, you can only get to such a level before you become worthy of someone knocking you off. That's why many reporters and former spies, former diplomats dealing with Russia have in recent years died. And I don't mean to suggest that. I'm talking about that in the aspect of it's horrific. This is what Russia does. And I think that Paul Manafort knows that. He's had dealings with Russia and the Ukraine for years. So I think that he's well aware of the potential costs and dangers associated with it. We're about to see, hopefully, I mean, in some aspect, hopefully by tomorrow, we're going to see a lot of things happen. I know that Chuck and Nancy are pushing for the reopening of the government, especially by tomorrow, because, you know, it's Friday is payday, and federal employees need their money so that they can survive. And I would really wish that the government and those associated with it would stop giving them really bad advice, such as, you know, have a garage sale or ask your parents for money. These people come from paycheck to paycheck, hardworking families that often don't have time, you know, have the kind of funds to lend them. That, I mean, seriously, it's the cost of living can be anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 to more, depending upon where you're living, what bills you're paying, what is your cost of home, car, you know, mortgage, insurance, all of that. And I think for him to think that parents just have that to shell out, well, not every parent has $1 million to loan to their kid straight out of pocket and be like, oh, well, you spent that? Well, let me give you a little more, like Trump did. And we're not all getting left hundreds of millions of dollars. It's so telling how much in a bubble some people are, that they don't understand that poverty exists even among the working class. In fact, a majority of working class Americans are living within that poverty level. So I hope for their sake that something does happen. I feel really bad. If you are a government employee and you're listening to this, I'm very sorry for all that you're going through. And you're really taking one for the team, because it's not right. You shouldn't be a pawn in this game of chess that they're playing. And ultimately, your potential future hangs in the balance. The idea of not opening government for months and years, well, does he realize that nobody will continue for months and years to work for the government without pay? That happened. This is one of his businesses. People aren't just going to sit there and be like, oh, well, I live in a van down by the river, but I'm going to continue to go to work at my job where they don't pay me. People are going to find another job because everybody needs to get paid. When I see that the level that this economy is on versus what Obama left it, I mean, we were doing so wonderful. We were cutting our deficit. We were cutting the trade deficit. We were doing some amazing things, and now we're on a complete different route. It's amazing how quick, and I think that was the intention, because another thing that came up yesterday was I had already said about the poultry and the soybeans that Russia was willing to sell to China. Well, it turns out that there's another thing that Russia is willing to sell to, that's steel. So all of these tariffs that Trump has imposed, yeah, another thing that's going on, Russia is selling more steel. So it seems that everything that seemed kind of odd and awkward a while ago is now making sense, that it's for the benefit of Russia. I think we're going to see soon that all of the implementation that Trump has done has been for the benefit of Russia. I think that he's more of an asset than we have ever given him credit for. I think that people should be investigating Stephen Miller or anybody who has calls, talks, or any kind of association with him, Jared Kushner, I think Ivanka, because whoever it is continues to carry a message about what he should be doing, how he should play it out. And this cannot – look, the man has the attention span of a fruit fly, okay? This man cannot keep on the same topic for more than 30 seconds without zooming on to the next thing. So you can't tell me that this is all something that he sat down and he programmed out for later. He also doesn't read or write. So somebody is continuously telling him, this is what you need to do, this is the next step, this is how it needs to go. And we need to find the bee in his ear, and we need to get rid of them, because honestly, then he will land in chaos. Once he doesn't have somebody feeding him the information to do as Russia told him, he will be lost. Of course, Russia will get mad. They might set him loose. They might even drop all the evidence that they have on him. That's a great thing. But we need to make sure that these people surrounding him are fully investigated, all their communications, all of where they're going, all of what they're doing, because somebody there is a hero for Russia in whichever way. I don't even trust Melania. I trust none of the Trumps. If your last name is Trump, I don't trust you for anything. You know, these people would sell out all of us for 10 cents as long as they got richer. Anyhow, that's going to do it for today. I'm going to hopefully get to do a show tomorrow. I want to see what goes on at the border today and then his attempts to declare the emergency powers. I want to watch what's going on, and I hope you do too. This is your country. Please keep up with it. We all got to be in this battle together. We're all Americans, no matter whether you're GOP, progressive, Democrat, socialist, whatever you are. American means American. And we've got to start putting this country first, or we're going to definitely be last, and we're going to face a lot of hard times. So until tomorrow, I hope all of you take care and have a wonderful day. Thanks. Bye.